something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
This is not a test. This is not a test. This is a urgency episode of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast with Scott Dworkin, a.k.a. At Funder, Deputy Director of President Obama's Presidential Inaugural Committee 2009, Deputy Director of the Democratic National Convention 2012, co-founder and senior advisor for the Democratic Coalition in 2016. Special guest, Scott Dworkin. This is not a test. This is an urgency episode of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast with the very thoughtful, very insightful, very passionate Scott Dworkin. Listen, the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast has been called the Karma Sutra of podcasting, meaning we do it in all different styles. We do comedy, obviously we do sports, we do humor, we do drama, we do melodrama, and we do politics when I feel necessary. I went to sleep last night feeling unsafe. Okay, first I was mad, that's my natural instinct. Then I realized, I said, why are you so mad? Why are you so mad? And I realized I wasn't mad. I was scared. Okay? I was scared. I was alarmed by a tweet by our president of the United States. We can say he's not our president. He's not my president. He is the president of the United States. Dick Stain Donald Trump on January 2nd tweeted out, and I quote, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un just stated that the quote-unquote nuclear button is on his desk at all times. Will someone from his depleted and food-starved regime please inform him that I too have a nuclear button, but it is much bigger and a more powerful one than his, and my button works. That's a threat. That's a threat of war. Okay, that's like someone walking up to you while you're waiting in line to go to see a movie and saying, yo, what the fuck are you looking at? What the fuck are you looking at, homeboy? That's a threat. That's a threat. If you look at me again, I'm going to fuck you up. That's a threat. That's what Donald Trump is saying. Okay? It makes me feel unsafe. Like I said, I get angry. I articulate my anger. Okay? But it's just coming from a place of fear. It's just coming from a place of fear. I don't care if you're Democrat. I don't care if you're a Republican. Obama, Reagan, Bush, Washington, Jefferson, Kennedy. I don't care who you are. The president of the United States is supposed to make the people of the United States feel safe. When the president of the United States is threatening that his nuclear button is bigger, better, and badder than North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's nuclear button, I don't feel safe. I feel uncomfortable. Okay? So I decided to finally make this happen with Scott Dworkin, who I've never met, never spoke to before. I love his Twitter activity. He's very passionate, very informed, and he's not playing games, okay? Like I said, he's worked as the deputy director of the President Obama's inaugural committee, the deputy director of the Democratic National Convention. He's the co-founder and senior advisor for the Democratic Coalition. And he's had his hand in helping uncover the Trump-Russia scandal. He has dedicated his entire life to politics. And right now, he has dedicated his life to bringing Donald Trump to justice. Basically getting this motherfucker impeached where he needs to be. Okay? At this point... Like I've said this before, me and G. Moody, last name rhymes with duty, we've said this many times. At this point, it has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with sides, Democrat, Republican, whatever side of it you're on. The safety of our people, the safety of the world should be taken more seriously than tax cuts, opinions, Obama, whether you hated the black president or not, you sick fucks you. Okay? Because that's what a lot of this has to do with. We should be able to go to sleep at night feeling safe. Last night, the president of the United States also tweeted out. This one hasn't gotten any attention, but this has got to be his top seven wildest tweets of all time. This motherfucker just tweeted out the other night. On January 2nd, he said, this is on his Twitter, I will be announcing the most dishonest and corrupt media awards of the year on Monday at 5 o'clock. Subjects will cover dishonesty and bad reporting in various categories from the fake news media. Stay tuned. This is what this motherfucker's talking about on Twitter. Like, I don't know if he's... that's what you're going to announce? That's what you're announcing? The dishonest and corrupt media awards of the year. That's what you're doing as the president of the United States? Yo, somebody get your man. This motherfucker's buck fucking wild nuts out of his fucking tree. And not cute. It's not cute. This isn't a Chris Rock movie. Okay? This isn't funny. This isn't a Warren Beatty movie. This is not funny. None of this is funny. Okay, so I got Scott Dworkin on here, who you should follow. Anyway, Scott Dworkin, like working, but with a D, Scott Dworkin, a.k.a. Funder on Twitter, F-U-N-D-E-R. We get into all of it. We get into why aren't the sexual assault claims against Donald Trump getting more coverage? He explains to me, in basic, layman, seventh grade, slow Michael Rapaport terms, the best he can about the tax reforms, what's going on with Dick Stain Donald Trump and sick Steve Bannon. They're beefing now. There's a book coming out. By the time I did this podcast, Donald Trump has said, ever since I fired Steve Bannon, now he's talking about he's fired. They have beef. They have beef. Steve Bannon, who We explained it in great detail. Listen, I'm not the classy type, okay? And I'm sure there's new listeners of the I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast. I'm not the classy type. My motto in life is, when they go low, yeah, see, I go lower. Michelle Obama, the great Michelle Obama, she said, when they go low, we go high. No, see, Michael Rapaport said, when they go low, I go lower. I go into the fucking bowels of the sewer. Okay, I put on my hazmat suit and I go lower and lower and lower. And I feel like the only way to fight Donald Trump is to go lower, to fight harder. There is no going higher with this dog, this animal. You must go lower. You must with him. I know a lot of people probably don't agree with this, but with him, you must go lower. You must bring it to his chest piece. You must go full Wu-Tang with Donald Trump. The image of him stalking and prancing around Hillary Clinton during those debates, I think about that all the time. Like, he was like stalking her and like sort of like trying to physically impose himself on her. This is a president? The next person that runs against Donald Trump needs to be ready to take it to the streets verbally, physically, impose your will on him. The next person that debates him, that faces him. You can't be nice. You can't be classy around a dog face, dick stain animal, okay? So let's get to it with Scott Dworkin on an urgency episode of the I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast. All right. As I told you, I was going to have Scott Dworkin on the I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast, who is hardcore understanding, co-founder of the Democratic Coalition against Trump. I appreciate the time. I've learned a lot from a lot of the stuff you've posted on Twitter and following you, and I respect your diligence. And just where you're at, you know, this is the first time you and I are speaking. I've said this many times. I've never, you know, I'm 47 years old. I've never paid that much attention to politics. I'm not bragging. That's just a fact. You know, and I think like a lot of Americans, a lot of people in the world probably, you know, no matter what side you're on at this point, I think people, are paying attention and are passionate about it, and you're very passionate about it. And I appreciate you taking the time with me, Scott.
Sure, absolutely.
I have so many questions for you, and you seem to have such a great understanding of what's going on in the history of politics and obviously what's going on with Trump, and you worked with Obama and all this stuff. The other day, the tweet that Trump put out about his nuclear button being better than Kim Jong's nuclear button, and his button works better, and you know, it works and all this stuff. And I realized I got really pissed off about it. And then I realized I feel unsafe. Like, him saying that made me feel unsafe, because I'm like, I go to sleep in the morning, I wake up, look, and grab my phone, and I'm like, is like Florida in the ocean? Have bombs exploded? You know, and just that general feeling of feeling unsafe, I don't think it's fair. I mean, so just that tweet that he put out the other day about his nuclear button working better, what do you make of that?
You know, I think that they have a back channel to North Korea via South Korea, and they're working together diplomatically when it comes down to it. I think this was meant to be a distraction from, you know, the book release and the quotes from Bannon. But then they also, you know, when he talks about a nuclear button, nobody, not one of his advisors, would have said that's a good idea. So this is something that definitely was written by him. I can tell you that it's troubling, because he thinks he can get away with it and not be held accountable. And it seems like the Republicans in Congress are just going to sit there, and they really, there's been no response for the most part today. From any Republican member of Congress, and every single Democrat's outraged because it's endangering American lives. And so think about, you know, when he talks about attacking intel officers and all this stuff, like most of those people are in the military. Most of those people in the Army, the Air Force, like we have intelligence services through our military. And so when he's attacking those, and then if you go to the FBI and DOJ, a lot of those people are officials, former police officers, people that are law enforcement officers that he acts like he's friends with. And really, it seems like he's a criminal who's their enemy. Anyways, he's gone off the deep end. And from my sources, from the White House in regards to what's happened today, you know, in the last 24 hours, I guess he got questions about this book that's coming out where Bannon says Don Jr. is a traitor, or said that he committed treason. And then he also said that Donald Trump Sr. actually was introduced to the people in the July 2016 Russian lawyer meeting, which would involve him and implicate him, you know, before, which means he's knowledgeable at that point, which means everything else he said beyond that of not knowing about Russia would be discounted. So there's a lot of different bombshells in this. And I think he kind of felt the anxiety of he doesn't know what's going to happen next. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Mueller probe. He doesn't know what we're going to do in regards to the resistance. He doesn't know what a lot of things are going to happen. And the problem is he's also outnumbered at this point. Sadly, not in Congress, though.
And just clarify, the book isn't written by Steve Bannon.
No.
So give the context of who wrote the book and who this person is in relation to Steve Bannon and what the accuracy. It's not like a tabloid book, right?
Right. No, it's nonpartisan, and it's, you know, it's sourced in regards to everything's been verified in regards to what's been said. And so he must have, you know, recordings of conversations between these people and him, or have taken, you know, very clear notes in regards to, you know, their meetings with him, because he's actually speaking to a lot of these people one on one, and they're giving their impression of Trump, you know, off the cuff. And a lot of people are talking very openly, you know, like Rupert Murdoch calling him an effing idiot after he was going to consider taking a liberal stance on immigration. And that didn't happen, obviously. But, you know, it just seems like a meltdown. You know, they're trying to juggle too many balls, and it's really not going to work out for him because it's just going to crash down. You know, he spent all his political points, and I don't really think, since it's an election year, I don't think a lot of Republicans are going to stick with him. At the very least, they're going to distance themselves from him, the people who are not in trouble. Now, there's lackeys, people that want to run statewide, they'll attack Mueller and they'll do stuff like that. But, you know, now there's elected Republicans who are like, wait a second, I think Trump might be lying. And it's like taking them this long to figure that out. So, you know, it's all just a bunch of games. And that's the idea, is you want to check your phone in the morning, and when you get, you see one of his tweets, and, you know, he wants to point you in this direction when really we should be looking in the other direction. And you know, that's gaslighting. So he definitely does a lot of things intentionally, and that makes it kind of worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, intent to distract by endangering the lives of Americans, or, you know, maybe he provokes a missile launch in North Korea and they, you know, they misfire it and it does hit people. It does hit populate. You know what I mean? Like, who knows if they can actually control it? So there's a lot of scary different things, because once something goes down, I mean, there's no turning back with a lot of the other countries. And at this point, he's done more damage than any president in the history of this country, from what I've seen. And it just, a lot of it's going to take years, if not, you know, more than a decade, to build it back up and build our trust back up. Because when you don't trust your intel officers, that means, you remember around 9/11 when everybody said, oh, well, we weren't on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the CIA, DOJ, like, oh, everybody wasn't on the same page. We all had snippets and we knew it, but if we put it all together, then we would have been fine. So they wanted to sink everything. But now, if we're not getting intelligence from other countries because they don't trust us, we're going to miss out on information that makes us, you know, in a more dangerous spot. So you should feel unsafe. And that's definitely natural. And in this setting, this is not normal. And anybody who kind of gives you a thumbs up, they're either in on it or just a moron.
I didn't even think about that in regards to that tweet about the nuclear, his button and all that stuff. But I guess he probably, you know, he gets the information that story was coming out about the book. And, you know, that unsafe feeling, I just think is not fair. And, you know, I mean, listen, I wouldn't even call myself a novice person of having a novice understanding of politics. I just go on my feelings and my guts and just like, you know, right and wrong. You know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, you know, we have Republicans, Democrats, you know, and I feel like people have drawn hard lines in the sand. You're either a Republican and you're with Trump, or you're a snowflake fucking, you know, Democrat and you're not with Trump. And somehow or another, the Republicans have given off this impression that they're the tough, you know, ones that care about this country. And we, the Democrats, are the snowflakes, liberals, and every single Republican is the same and every single Democrat is the same. And it's not, that's never the case. Like, none of us are the same as Democrats. None of us are the same as Republicans. Will there ever be more choices or like sort of like, I like a little bit of this or I like a little bit of that? It's like as if the whole world only existed in basketball. Like, there's either you're a Laker fan or you're a Knicks fan. And what about the rest of us? You know, like maybe you're a Utah Jazz fan or maybe some people like Chicago Bulls. Like, is there ever going to be like where it's not just so hardline, you know, one or the other?
I think when, you know, when there's substantive evidence that comes out against Trump, his family, and the rest of his people, I think that the country will actually unite against him for the most part. There will be stragglers. There'll be Republicans who go down with the ship no matter what. And there's going to be this ton of people retiring, obviously, so they'll need to run new campaigns. But as of right now, you know, the division has become Republicans holding into their far, far right corner and Democrats moving into the overall aspect of let's save some people's lives. Like, what's wrong with making sure kids have health care so they don't make other kids sick, so they don't make me sick? You know what I mean? Like, why aren't you going to take care of Americans? Why are you going to take their Medicare and Social Security that they paid money for decades so that they could retire in peace and be able to pay their rent and not get kicked out of their house or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, there's reasons for everything. And all they're doing is cutting and cutting and cutting to the point where it's like, why are we paying taxes? Like, what are we paying them for? It's so that this guy can go and spend one third of his presidency, $120 million and counting, on the golf course and at his own spots.
Is that real? $120 million in like the travel and the security?
Yeah, so it was $91 million before his Christmas trip. And after that, it cost around $30 million. And this is what we know of. This is what we're sure of, which means that, you know, it could be double for all we know. But based on the information we have, it's up to $120 million, which is more than Obama spent in his entire presidency, all 8 years. And that's, you know, I think he spent $111 million. And he's criticized for every dime he spent. Mm-hmm. As they should. But, you know, Trump not only is making he's going down. So think about it like this. He's going down to his own property. Right. And so a lot of the expenses are going through his property. So he's making money off of tax. So it's not only a taxpayer vacation, he's also making money off that tax money himself via his property. And then also, you know, there's going to be other expenses of staffers that stay there. And then he's making money because it's fully booked when he's down there because people want to meet with him. And you, if you're not staying at Mar-a-Lago, you're not going to get a meeting with him. So, I mean, that's the thing that's just been that's corruption. And that's what it is. This is not, you know, a third world country, but he's running it like one. And, you know, there's very few things that we can do except for, you know, replace it with Democrats to even the balance. And I don't think that there's going to be I think there will be an awakening in regards to Americans realizing a vast majority, like 80-85% of Americans realizing that this guy is going to bring this country down and they're not going to stand for it anymore. I think that'll show at the polls. Republicans will definitely turn around very quickly. They'll turn on Trump very quickly, probably half of them or so in the next few months, because they have an election coming up and he's polling too low. A lot of them, you know, I'm never going to forget who stood by him. I'm not never going to forget how they killed one of, you know, members of the resistance, and two cops died that day in Charlottesville.
Mm-hmm.
I take that personally. I remind him every chance I get, you know, that Heather Heyer is her name, because he couldn't remember her name. You know, and then the troops, you know, that came home and he didn't even call them. And then he tried to accuse Obama of never calling them. And, you know, one of the first things he did was visit an air base where they actually were landing and he was there. And so it's just like, why compare? It doesn't matter. Why talk about Hillary? She's not relevant.
I know. It makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense.
They just want, it's all for like distract here, distract here, distract here. But now they've kind of outplayed their balance. Like, we let him use the word collusion. Like, we've let him use that all last year because we knew that we don't need to have the talk about the difference between collusion and conspiracy. So under antitrust cases, you can be charged with collusion, like colluding with, let's say, a bank or you know, in regards to the stock market. In regards to this sort of case that Mueller has, there are no criminal charges that can be made that are collusion. It would be conspiracy against the United States, obstruction of justice, something along those lines. So it's a Trump talking point in a trap. And it's one of the many things where he's like, let's talk about collusion. But that's basically like saying, let's talk about something where you're acting like it's a crime that you can debate about, but in the end game, you can't actually be charged with it. So what are we really talking about? If we're talking about conspiracy, it's so much simpler in regards to how it can be implicated. And you'll see that flip on its head. But a lot of this, all Russian tactics, all of this stuff with the fake news, he even just admitted that Steve Bannon, in his response to Steve Bannon, he admitted that Steve Bannon leaked out fake news to the media in his statement in response, trying to attack him. But what he doesn't realize is that he's accountable for everything that happens in that White House.
Right.
So I don't know what's going to happen next. I just know, I've lived in D.C. for over 12 years now, I've never seen Republicans this stressed. I've never seen them actually want to come and meet with me and talk to me until now. It's been years. Yeah, to be honest, like 5 years since really, you know, Republicans were even going to sit down. And even now, I don't trust them. So I sit down and I listen. I assume that it's a trap and so what's happened here is I think this woke up America to a level we needed to be at, you know, 10 years ago.
Right.
And this assault, these acts of war that Russia is committing against the United States, we will look back on it. And it will be, you know, considered in our minds as treason. But this is more serious than just hacking some emails on the internet. These are people who can turn off our power. These are people who can damage our water supply. These are people who can, you know, turn off the power in an airport. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a laughing matter. Like, these are not only that, they've attacked American civilians like myself, trying to use, cyber operations, you know, by threats. I received thousands of threats last year.
Did you really?
Absolutely. I think I was second to Hillary.
How did you receive them?
Twitter, phone. Nobody has my phone number, but I'll get it via Twitter, email, via friends, which is the worst.
Mm.
I've gotten them via family, which is the toughest. But everyone is on the same page. They are so resolute. At first, it was tough. Like in April of last year, The Russian embassy in the UK sent out a tweet saying, thanks to Funder, which is my handle, so thanks to Scott for keeping Trump as Putin's puppet, or calling Trump Putin's puppet, something along those lines, with a creepy Leo DiCaprio cheersing from the Great Gatsby meme below it. It really, you know, it was mind-boggling, and people said, that's a threat, we need to go. And I was like, what are you talking about? But that's intended. And what happened was, instead of them scaring me away from it, I knew I was onto something. Mm-hmm. And that's what always happens, is whenever the attacks rise up, like, that's when it really happened. Because all I knew was, in June of 2016, I knew that there was a possibility that Hillary would lose. And I woke up like, Trump could become the president. So we started fighting back against all these attacks, and I just Googled Trump and Cyrillic versus via business directory, and it came up with different information. I was able to uncover pictures and video of them in Russia doing business, different contracts, and this started, you know, turning into a bigger kind of scandal. Then we rolled into January of last year, and we were going to inauguration. I was up. You know, if you were wondering, I wonder if anyone's up right now trying to make sure that this inauguration doesn't happen based on evidence against Trump. Mm. I was that guy, you know what I mean? Like, I'm one of the many. But, you know, it really, this is something where I've devoted my life to, because I love this country. I love what it stands for. And I don't like where it's at. And I'll tell you what, we are not doomed, thanks to, you know, Americans standing up. And I don't think there's anything that's going to prevent them from turning out in numbers beyond presidential years in the fall. And I don't think that Republicans are going to be able to match it on any level. I would assume that they lose 55 seats. I think we lost 70, you know, when the healthcare, it was the 8 months after the healthcare bill or something like that.
Right.
6 months after healthcare bill. So we've got this tax bill now I can wave around for the next 10 months, and they're going to have to explain themselves, and they can't. Why do you take 13 million? Why do you take healthcare from 13 million people? You know, why aren't you doing anything for Dreamers? What are you doing to fund children's healthcare? You can't even fund the government. You know what I mean? Like, you funded it through January as of right now, or even January 20th. And it's just like, what are you doing to fight Trump? A lot of these things, they're not going to be able to confront these problems. You know, why were you silent on Trump? Imagine a debate between a congressman and someone who's challenging him, and the questions they'll be asked, like, why do you still support Trump? Like, they're going to be cornered, and they're going to look sleazy, because they are, and they're going to look like liars, because they are. And I think at the end of the day, justice takes time. Criminals can lash out, make attacks quickly, and we have to temper our response and sometimes not respond at all. And that leads us into a situation where they repeat things over and over, but you see no response from Mueller, because, again, it's a very complex process, but I think it's coming to the end. And I really believe that, you know, Mueller is going to throw out some indictments. And by the end of this all, a lot of these people are going to end up in jail. Most of them will end up in jail for helping to cover it up and for crimes that were committed while in the White House that had nothing to do with Russia.
Wow. I mean, this is like, it's so much to absorb, and it's so much to process for all of us. And I imagine even somebody like you that's like, you know, like you said, who's dedicated your life to this. And I feel like, whether it's fake news, real news, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, you know, everything is so distorted. Like the Russia, you know, investigation, which, you know, you helped uncover, you know, I feel like at first it was like, oh, Russia, it's going to get them. And now it's become sort of an everyday part of our vernacular. And we hear about it all the time. We're getting desensitized to it. Now, I know you're not a fortune teller, Scott. You know, I don't want to put you on the spot, but in regards to Russia, and specifically, is that going to be the thing that really takes down this administration?
Yeah, I'm debating still whether it's the Me Too movement, and it'll be women and his 20 victims of sexual assault, mm-hmm. Or if it will be Russia. It looks like it's going to be Russia because he really, you're not going to make a deal with Flynn unless he's flipping on Trump. You're not going to make a deal with Papadopoulos unless he's got juicy enough stuff to throw on Trump. I really think that this is going to do far more than just bring him down. I think this will bring him down for good. I don't think that he'll ever spend time in prison. I guess he would be sentenced to house arrest or something like that. He'd act like he was mentally incompetent or something, you know, legally he would get out of it. But I don't think that he'll be in office for another maybe 3 months.
Really?
My guess is he'll be presented with a docket that, or you know, a binder that says, here's the route that we can go. Here's a route for your resignation. And here's the route if you don't resign. And I don't know exactly how legally that happens. I don't know, you know, the background from it. But once they have enough information, if they're planning to indict, I think at that point they can come up with some sort of deal that includes his resignation.
Mm.
And as crazy as some people may think that, oh, he'll never resign, he goes out pretty easily. His past business deals, he's kind of signed himself off. Once he bankrupts everything and makes his money, he usually is like, okay, I can go now.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, I can do more from the outside, I'm resigning.
Right.
Like, and you know, and then he just goes and retires in Mar-a-Lago. But that will not get, you know, his son-in-law, his daughter, Ivanka and others off the hook for working with Russia. And remember, it can be as simple as me finding out, right? If I'm on the Trump campaign, I find out that Russians have been in contact. And if I did not report that to federal authorities, you're then breaking the law. So it doesn't have to be where they went in a back room, they planned stuff out, and they went from there. Even if you just allowed stuff to happen, right? That's illegal. That's a felony. It's jail time.
Mm.
Like, and these are not laughing matters. People have died over this.
Mm.
And these are people that not just intelligence officers or people in Russia. I think there's been like, you know, 15 people that have miraculously or mysteriously died involving this dossier. But at the end of the day, I don't think that they ever expected us to push back so hard.
Right.
Because remember, it was Nunes canceled, a congressman from California canceled Yates and Clapper hearings, the former assistant attorney general. And when they canceled those hearings in March, I think it was, that was right after Flynn had been fired. And we went on, I think Comey got fired shortly after that. But anyways, we went on and we pushed, like, well, Sessions led the transition team. He met with Russians during the campaign, you know, and after, obviously after as well. But so how can he help lead this investigation? So then he hands it off to Rod Rosenstein. Rod Rosenstein, we then find out, was involved with Jim Comey's firing. So then we push Congress to, and via public pressure, to have Rosenstein bow out. And I think that only took a day.
Mm.
And that's when, I don't know if Sessions was involved or not, that's when they appointed Bob Mueller. And I think that's when Trump lost it, because he knew that if one man in the world could get him for all this, it would be Bob Mueller. And I just think that the time is ticking for a lot of these people, and you'll see a lot of surprises in regards to how deep some of these people are and how a lot of people haven't been mentioned yet, specifically Rudy Giuliani, Ivanka Trump, and obviously Donald is going to be the key player. I don't know if he organized it all, but again, it doesn't matter. If you worked with the Russians, if you allowed it to happen, you're gone. That's
right.
It. Keep it simple, you know? So I think we're in a good spot to move the story forward. And once there's substantive evidence beyond this guy said that, you know, some paperwork, once they have audio tapes or videotapes, you know, proving X, Y, and Z, they're going to play that like it's Hillary's emails, you know, and I just don't see anybody being able to survive that, even Trump.
Now, in regards to the Me Too movement and the sexual assault claims against Donald Trump, you know, they seem to, you know, when he was running, you know, during the campaign, it was talked about. Then he got elected, then it went away. And then in the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, you know, the women have come forward. Why do you think it's not getting any more media coverage? And could there actually be an indictment on those sexual assault claims against him?
A lot of those women were issued credible threats.
I'm sure.
At a constant beyond what I've even in the Russian government, you know, by neo-Nazis, but credible threats, you know, like I'm going to go, you know, attack your house or your family. But descriptors and like pictures from being outside and things like that, outside of their home, that is, there won't be any criminal part of this. Like, he won't get charged with anything at any point in regards to sexual assault, unless there were to be, you know, an accuser that has evidence and can present that. A lot of these people, it was, you know, groping or, you know, doing things one-on-one, and it was, you know, either years ago, either 10 years ago, 30 years ago. But, you know, when you watch these women, they're telling the truth. They're not making it up. And you can, I don't understand why. I mean, I know why Republicans act like they don't know that he has any sexual assault claims against him. I just don't know why they're allowed to get away with not paying attention to it.
Right.
And that's what we're working on. Because the second that more than one Republican says that they should be heard, it's that could be ballgame for Trump too. Because any sort of outside person, you know, Nikki Haley, UN ambassador, she said they should be heard, and it was off the cuff, and she tried to retract it, and it was unsuccessful, and she was able to, you know, they threw that out there. But it's one of so many things that he's doing. It's hard to just focus on, you know, one salacious thing after another. Even Bannon, and this is the worst part, Bannon brought up he was alleged a woman accused Trump of raping her when she was 13 years old. And it was very clear that, you know, it was a court case that it was civil, so it was not criminal. But it was moving forward where the judge thought it was credible enough to do so. And then I think after some kind of death threats or something along those lines, she then withdrew the case.
Mm.
But, you know, all of these people can't be liars.
Right.
And that's the thing, is if we're going to examine Franken, you know, and kick him out of the Senate, we definitely need to get rid of Trump. Because at the end of the day, there is no justice without him being able to be accountable for all of his previous actions. Because it does make him unqualified to be president. In the fact that he's assaulted this many women.
Right. It's crazy. The tax reform. Now, me personally, I benefit from what I've gathered from my accountant and my financial advisor. I benefit from this tax reform. That means shit to me. I could care less. I could seriously care less. It means nothing to me. I'm trying to figure out how I should deal with that personally. Should I spend it? Should I donate it? I don't know. But could you, the best you can, like if you're talking to a slow seventh grade version of myself, can you explain the basic sort of concept of this tax reform and why, unless you're a very rich person, and I'm not very rich, but I happen to be doing well right now, unless you're, you know, like sort of elite money-wise, why the tax reform is a bunch of garbage and bullcrap, and even the staunchest Trump supporter who's not a millionaire should be offended and upset and concerned about this tax reform.
Sure. So they have a bill, and what they did with the bill is they took, instead of giving money to people who need it, which would be poor people, disabled and whatnot, they're trying to reallocate that money to rich people with this trickle down theory, where it's like, you know, trust the rich people to employ more people. They're going to give bonuses and will give benefits to the corporations instead of the worker. You know, it's very, in the simplest terms, to pay for that, to pay for this, these big tax cuts, they then rolled in over a period of a decade, taking away the health care of 13 million Americans that currently have it. And in addition to taking from Medicare and Social Security in order to pay for it. So they're basically taking this tax plan and, yeah, they're simplifying the tax code. But in the end, you know, 99% of all Americans are going to pay more. Not only that, it drives up a $1.5 trillion deficit. So in the most basic of terms, they came up with a tax plan. And instead of what they're doing is instead of giving all the money to the, you know, to a lot of people that are poor, they're giving it to very few people that are rich and saying, trust them. They'll do it. And they kind of roll their eyes like, yeah, right. And that's what happens every time. I don't ever see a rich guy who's like, I made more money. I need to employ more people immediately. Like, that's how it works. They put it in their coffers and, you know, buy a new Lamborghini. Like that's, I've seen it. So it's just the part that makes it a scam is they made deals that even contradict each other with almost every senator that's a Republican, where they got a personal benefit or a family member got a personal benefit, or they accomplished something via the bill, you know, like drilling in the Arctic for Murkowski. You know, and that's corruption. But as simple as it can make it, you know, they had basically a piece of crap, right? And so you take this piece of paper and you shove it through. You're like, don't worry about what's in it. Like, forget about that. Let's just get it through and then we can work out the kinks. You move on to the next level, you go to the Senate. And it's like, oh, we've got to write something, you know? And so how can we take the money from the poor and put it in the richest, you know, people's hands? And they did that by passing this bill. I do not believe that this will be, you know, I think that this bill will be a big flop. And I think that they'll have to, one of the first things Democrats would do is, I don't know if repeal would be the word, but they would have to get rid of it. And I think they'd get enough Republican votes to do that. But yeah, it just is a long, extensive scam that is meant to simplify taxes while screwing you out of more money. So it's like, even though you can do it maybe on a postcard, you know, people who need that extra $1,000 aren't going to get it. And in the long run, everyone loses because if you can't live well, right, if you can't be healthy, and you're not living.
Right.
And if we can't enable society for us to be able to take care of each other, what the hell are we doing?
Right.
So it's a long scam that I can't say it enough that people are going to go to jail for this bill. There's going to be people who it's kind of like Abramoff, like the old lobbyist back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's too many deals that were made in the back room. Lobbyists actually wrote words, very illegal. It's not good for America. So I think that, you know, a lot of these things are going to be, they're going to have to clean up the bill. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm guessing Democrats will eventually take control and overhaul the taxes. And here's the great news. The great news out of all of this.
Give it to me.
Every single thing that Republicans are doing that's right-wing batshit crazy, right? Every single thing that they're doing opens up the door for us to, instead of saying, we're going to give health care to more people. Like they say, well, we're going to take it from 13 million. Then we're like, well, we're going to give it to all. We're going to give it to everybody. So we're able to take a more, what you would say, liberal stance on almost everything because they're taking this far right position and, you know, they're outnumbered in every way. 800,000 people with Dreamers. We want them to stay. Mm-hmm. They play these games where they act like they care. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about any of us, right? They only care about serving themselves. I'm not sure why. I don't know why. I ask them all the time in person.
Yeah, like, they don't care about us. That's the thing. That's the thing that frustrates me about the Trump Middle America or wherever the fuck they are. They're under this impression that this guy gives a shit about the have-nots. He could care less about the have-nots of any color, white, black, green, blue, Puerto Rican, any color. He doesn't care. He does not care. And I don't know what made people think all of a sudden, boom, because he's up there talking. Like, what in his life has he done to show that he cares about people, regular folk?
Nothing.
All right, let me ask you this. In a few years, there's going to be another election for a president, whether Trump resigns, whether anything happens. As far as the Democrats, who can we look forward to running for president and being a viable, strong, charismatic, and at this point, you need to be able to deal with confrontation, which is a whole new sort of... like, you have to be able to talk shit, because we can say what we want about Trump, but he went in there at these debates, and he played beyond dirty. He took it to a schoolyard level. He was insulting. He was personally insulting. You know, like, he's a good shit talker. Who would be the person in line or people in line that would be able to go against him or the next Republican candidate?
My personal choice is Michelle Obama, but I know that she's not drawn to it as of yet, even though she made it clear that she's not running, which is the first thing you do when you're running.
Right.
But that's obviously a while ago. If I had to choose today, I'd say it would be Joe Biden, to get the polar opposite going, where he can attack him by calling him a hooligan or, like, you know, something where it's very simple, but it's a sharp barb.
Right. I think Joe can mix it up verbally.
Right.
And I think Joe, like, would intimidate him physically. Like, it's weird to think of it that way, but, like, he needs to feel like a physical threat. It's so weird to think that, but the way he was sort of stalking around Hillary and, like, lurking around her, like, he knew she wouldn't talk the way he was going to talk. She's a woman. He's a guy. He's a big guy. Like, there was a sort of, like, he was sort of, like, intimidating. Like, he needs to be bullied.
Right. I think, you know, that's a tough thing, is I didn't see a lot of that happening. And I think that's why, I kind of let loose, you know, about a year ago. And I was just like, I'm just going to say, I'm not going to even sugarcoat anything. And it's made me able to be a bigger voice.
Right.
And it's, I think that there's a lot of other Democrats that can learn from that.
He's so inappropriate as a president. And some people will go, well, he's being real. He's just like us. And I go, I don't want a fucking president like me. Otherwise, I would run for it. Like, I want a president to be better than me. I want a president to be more articulate than me. I want a president to be more thoughtful and more compassionate than me. Right? I don't want a president who speaks, makes up things, who's schoolyard shit talking and all this stuff. And I'm with you, like, where you say you were just like, fuck it, I got to let the chips fall. I never gave a shit. I never talked about politics. I got, you know, I never thought about it. I never was concerned about it until I'm like, you know, this is like a fire alarm with him. It's like, this is bad. This is not good.
No, and it's like the Kushner thing you said, I think you were on Colbert. And it said something along the lines of, like, how can he look himself in the mirror as a Jewish person? Like, how can he actually, you know, still be there after all the white supremacist stuff? Like, this is no laughing matter. These are people. Let's think about it like this. If you're a white supremacist, what do you want to do? You want whites to be the only race that exists. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. So they want everybody else to die out. Everything that he's doing right now, taking health care, taking away funds, not helping out Puerto Rico, you know, not helping out more liberal states, all of that hurts minorities in America. And the thing that, you know, they're going to be most trouble with come 2018 is the fact that they've got, you know, like 14 seats in California, 12 seats in Texas, mostly that wouldn't be up for grabs if it wasn't for, you know, Trump. But he's, you know, he opened the door for Democrats that hadn't had teeth before. Right. And I guarantee you that President Obama will come out swinging when he's going to be campaigning like a madman. Okay. Coming up, he's going to be campaigning like a madman, and he is not going to hold back. Mm-hmm. He's good at that slow burn of knowing exactly what to say to just get under Donald's skin, because he's one of the few people who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Hillary's going to be a play a major role in that as well. But it's I think there will be a political reset when people realize exactly what's gone down during the Trump administration, and it's going to be more civil. And we're going to be more united in the end. And not only that, we'll be stronger for it, because
I agree.
We won't be influenced by a bunch of garbage that says, hey, let's go riot in the streets, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just a Russian ad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we're not protecting ourselves. We're acting like the internet is not part of reality or it doesn't affect real life, when in fact it does, you know, and people need to remember, when they cut off immigrants from coming here, where do you think they go? They go into the freaking ditch in their country. They're probably dead.
Mm.
So that's like, where is that country? You know, and not only that, at some point, someone's going to have to face the gun issue we have. Gun violence has gone even up further now. And that's everybody, oh, it's such a hot button. You know, screw that. Take their fucking guns.
Right.
Like, start with the machine guns, and, you know, everybody can have their own pistol, and you can have your own little war in the country where you're going to shoot, you know, at your cars. And I've done it before. Like, I get it. But it's a hobby.
Right.
And it's not worth people's lives.
Right.
And no one should be able to own a weapon of mass destruction.
Right.
That was not what they were saying. They were saying, you know, if everybody wants to have a bayonet, go ahead and take it. Anyways, so there's a lot of things that are happening that are very simple that can help America that you're just not doing. Simple fixes to things that involve, you know, mass murder, basically, like terrorist attacks, domestic terrorism. And it's just being downplayed because we're not being attacked by a bunch of people that practice Muslim, like, we're not being attacked by what do you say is radical Muslims. We're being attacked by white Christian men.
Right.
Like, a lot of times, or fake Christians, obviously, but people who act like they're Christians and Trump followers, they're obviously insane. And so I don't want to blame him completely for it. But at some point, you know, you've got to call this what it is, which is brainwashing. And when they're doing this, they're using Russian tactics. But what I think is, it's wearing off. It's not cool. The next cool thing is to see how Trump can actually be toppled. And I think that we're in store for something that's not only historic, it really is going to bring us back mm-hmm. to the forefront of everything, where we can take the lead in green energy and everything else down the line. But we cannot do that unless people keep fighting. And I can tell you this, I've worked on over 1,000 campaigns in all 50 states and D.C. since, you know, 2004. And I've never seen people this energized.
Right.
I've never seen this people this angry, where they actually put it to good use.
Mm-hmm.
And where their hobby is now protesting.
Right.
Where they actually – and not only that, even more dangerously for the Republicans, is these people are running for Congress. These
right.
people are running state House, state Senate. So, you know, when you have Republicans that are going to be – just keep this in mind for the fall. When you have them, a lot of these people that are in safe districts, they'll have to be home more. They'll have to campaign more at home. They'll have to raise funds for themselves and not other people. So if Paul Ryan were staying in, which he might actually resign or retire, he says, at the end of the cycle, you know, I think it really is – you know, they're fooling themselves that they believe that they can actually keep these stances that represent, you know, 1% of America. At the end of the day, I think that, you know, we are a stronger country, and we'll return to a sense of civility, you know, in due time. But I don't think the worst has hit us yet. I don't think that they've really gone after things as much as they could. They haven't fired Mueller. They haven't tried to. from what we've seen. You know, but all of these chips, when you take away our diplomats and you tear down our country bit by bit, eventually it bites you in the ass.
I agree.
And you gotta, it's really, it's a dangerous premise. And sometimes it takes a while for the dominoes to catch up to itself. And it only takes one thing for people to stick to it. And it could involve nothing to do with Russia or Me Too or anything else. It could be something random that drives them out, where people are like, here's the sticking point. There's the line. I'm done. Like that. And I was done before he got inaugurated. So
right.
I think that he's the best worst thing that's ever happened to us, at least our generation, where you woke up people to make them care and realize that their vote matters.
I agree. I think that'll be the best thing that comes from all this. All right, Scott, listen, I appreciate you taking the time and your insight, and I appreciate your passion and your consistency and your diligence. And it inspires me. I hope it inspires more people to, stay aware, to stay focused, and to continue to educate ourselves and continue to communicate with each other, to improve this country and improve, our lives. I would love for you to come back and talk to me on the Ian Rapoport Stereo podcast. And, like I said, I appreciate the time, Scott.
No, absolutely. Thank you very much. And keep up with what you're doing, because you are making a difference. When you do go on TV, when you are talking, the honesty resonates with people. And so, keep up the good fight, because we need every person we can. To make sure that their voice is heard, and now is the time. And so thank you for coming forward and actually stepping up when we need you.
Absolutely. And I'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds good, brother.
All right, Scott, thank you. All right, that was fantastic. I want to thank my guest, Scott Dworkin. You could follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow, very, very passionate, very diligent, very smart. And he doesn't play games, as you can tell. He doesn't play games. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott Dworkin, ScottDWorkin, at Funder, FUNDER. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. I appreciate the insight. I appreciate the information. And I appreciate your passion. It's the Ian Rapoport Stereo Podcast Urgency Episode. Subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. My name is Michael Rapoport, and we're out.